This is Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Susan Franzen. But I'm speaking for all of the team down here at KHOI, thanking you for listening, especially today on this holiday. We hope that wherever you're listening, that we will be able to bring a smile to you as we share our memories of holidays past. We are starting out our show with a gift we received last week from Tim Champlin, a songwriter who sent us a new song called Christmas Cafe that he asked us to play on the air. When I heard it, I knew it was a great way to begin our holiday stories.
"5 miles from your town, hoping you might still be around at that little cafe out by the Flying J. Well, I hope you'll remember, been a year ago December, and the snow is sure coming down. They'd shut down the interstate, had to park my rig and wait. It was like a skating rink out there. You served me coffee and pie, told me your name and tried guessing mine, and then we both laughed out loud. And the snow kept falling down. 'Twas a snowy Christmas Eve. It wasn't love, it was the next best thing. Each found a friend on a snow-white winter's day. Two lonely hearts in a Christmas cafe. You said your shift was up at 3. Your ex had your kids this Christmas Eve, so we could hang out for a while. We caught a movie at the Metroplex. You introduced me to your dog named Rex. We made snow angels in your front yard. The falling snow looked like goose down. It was a snowy Christmas Eve. It wasn't love, it was the next best thing. Each found a friend on a snow-white winter's day. Two lonely hearts in a Christmas cafe. Talked late into the night. You told your story and I told you mine. Hung some lights on your Christmas tree. Spent the night there on your couch. Come sunrise, I started out. But you met me at the door with a coffee and a Christmas kiss. Snow was glistening all around. It was a snowy Christmas Eve. If it wasn't love, it was the next best thing. Each found a friend on a snow-white winter's day. Two lonely hearts in a Christmas cafe. Two lonely hearts in a Christmas cafe.
This is KHOI Community Radio, and this is our Christmas Storytelling Special. The song you just heard was by Tim Champlin, who brought it to KHOI last week. So that was a holiday gift to us, and we're passing it on to you. We'll start our storytelling with recollections of Cynthia McClure, Paul Hertz, Merle on the Move, Duffy Lohr, Rick Morrison, and David Slade.
Best Christmases that I remember growing up was when I woke up and all of us kids had bicycles waiting for us. I got my very first bicycle, you know, and my dad, he had that look like he was so happy. He hid this from us, and I'm the kind of kid that will check under the bed and all the drawers and like sneak a look at the presents, just surprising the kids in the morning, passing that on. My kids woke up Christmas morning with one giant present. And my son is a few years older than my daughter, and he looked at her and he goes, "No matter what it is, I get to use it first." And he's thinking it's like some kind of go-kart. I mean, it was a huge present. And then they open up this one giant present, and then in the center it's partitioned. So all the things that he ever asked for was on his side, and then all of her stuff was on hers. And they were all individually wrapped, so it was like a giant gift. When the kids got older, I had scavenger hunt Christmases where I would make them answer questions to find out where a clue where their present was. I'd do a hide it like an Easter egg. They hated it, you know, and I just was trying to create a different memory, you know, add some different traditions. It did create a memory, not a happy memory on their part. These were preteens and teens that were like, "Give me my stuff now. I do not want to work for this." So putting two holidays together, like the Easter egg hunt and the Christmas holiday, not a good idea. It's funny to think about it now, but not a good idea. Preteens are very vengeful. And they are, it created some hurt feelings on their part. And it's okay to want. It's okay to want, you know, because you also want for other people. I remember wanting for other people too. My name is Cynthia McClure, and I was, my religious background is interesting. My mother is a Baptist. My father was Catholic. I was baptized Catholic, but we have gone to different denominations and different churches. And as I grew up and got older, I converted to Islam, which I think freaked a lot of people out. And currently I don't consider myself super religious. I just am trying to keep the intention of doing well and doing right by myself and others. I hope that KHY makes your life a little brighter, and that what we're doing here, what we're trying to achieve here, is creating a space for you to understand yourself in a bigger way, because this isn't just us and our agenda. It's also the community and you. So my wish for you is that you don't sell yourself short throughout the new year and come and see what we're doing here at KHOI.
Mr. Santa Claus, remember me. Brothers and sisters, I have only three. There's Jamie and Clara and dear little May. Please, Mr.
When I was in late elementary or early middle school in the mid-90s, on Christmas Day, I happened to notice this bike out in the driveway. My mom and I brought it in, and it wasn't from her, wasn't from anyone we were expecting a gift from, but it was in fact from our neighbors. If you remember the Pepsi points, they had this whole promotional thing going on with various prizes if you accumulated so many. I think it was turning in probably UPC codes from the boxes, the 12 packs or whatever of Pepsi. This was the bike that you got upon accumulation of however many hundred or thousand points. And our neighbor, his job was garbage collector. And he went around every day just picking up people's trash. And he had accumulated all these thrown out boxes of Pepsi and saved the codes from them and used that to get a bike and then given it to me on Christmas, just left it in the driveway. Oh, it was great. Definitely surprised. Yeah. My name's Paul Hertz, and I'm from a mainline, more liberal Christian background, Methodist and Presbyterian. Merry Christmas to everyone out there listening, and have a safe and happy new year.
All right, this is a story about Merle. When I lived uptown, Alton, Illinois, right across the bridge from St. Louis, Missouri. Guess I was about 7 years old, I would guess. Didn't have a lot of great Christmases, but I did have one that was pretty good. I wanted a pair of moon boots. We don't get as much snow back home as you guys get up here, but we do get some snow. And I remember some of the kids was wearing these funky looking boots, and they had like big sole bottoms, real thick, and they were really insulated well, and it had the Velcro strap on the side. And I wanted a pair of those boots really bad. And also I wanted a boom box. You know, this is back when hip hop was really going, and they came out with the double cassette boombox, and where you could dub tapes. You could like get a cassette tape and play it, and then get a blank cassette tape and put on the other side and record, you know, and, you know, make a mixtape, you know, different songs, you know. And I thought that was super cool. And my mom was a single parent, and she didn't have a lot of money. I lived in the projects, but my father always got me something on Christmas too. But this particular Christmas, my mom really put some effort in getting me some nice things. I think they're pretty good that year in school, so she went that extra mile to look out for me and got me that double cassette thing and those moon boots. I put those moon boots on with my pajamas and went outside in the snow and was stumping around and making big footprints. So that's my little Christmas story. That's probably the best memory of a childhood Christmas that I think I can think of. My name is Merle. I do a radio show here called Merle on the Move, and I'm a Christian. Merry Christmas from Merle on the Move at KHOI 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames, Iowa.
Well, I remember one Christmas, this is back in the 80s, and I must have been around 8 years old. I was kind of like a radio nerd back then, too, in technology. And I always wanted a walkie-talkie because I thought it would be kind of cool to have this kind of communication with friends, kind of have this play time with friends and use the two-way technology. So I think one Thanksgiving, we found a wishbone, I think, and we let it dry out. And I guess my dad and I, we pulled it apart and... You know, if I were to get the bigger piece, I would get my wish. And so what happened was I ended up with a bigger piece. And, you know, just waited for one Christmas. And I opened up the package, and there was it was a very high quality walkie-talkie, pretty expensive, actually. So I got my wish. It's a very exciting moment to have that experience. And it's kind of like a magical childhood experience. So... You know, now that I think about it now, since I'm growing up more and I understand things more, it's more of how much my parents really did care for me, you know, when I was a kid. And even now, when you're a kid, you think of more kind of like Santa experience. And when you grow up, you realize how truly your parents cared for you. So you kind of appreciate them more for getting you this gift that you've always wanted. So I would definitely define it as a experience of appreciation, more of a connection. I'm Rick Morrison, and I am a spiritual person, and I wish all the listeners a very meaningful holiday and a close bonding with their family and friends through the holidays.
Thank you. I think my most memorable Christmas is from when I was a child during World War II, and I think I was four. My father was overseas in what I learned later, the Pacific. My mother had very, very supportive friends, among them an older couple whom we knew as a grandma and a grandpa, and they had no children of their own. And we learned that Christmas how much they loved us and how much of a grandma and grandpa they were. Our family tradition was to let Santa Claus put the tree up. So when we children went to bed, there was no tree. We did leave cookies and milk for Santa Claus. And little did we know that half the neighborhood came in and helped our mother decorate that tree. And the next morning, when my older brother took his two younger sisters down, underneath that tree was a sight that, if you had not believed in delight, joy, the divine, you would. The tree lights were on. The room was dark. And under the tree were two little baby beds, lovingly made by Grandpa Jean. Mother had made the coverlets and the mattress, and Aunt Elise had purchased the dolls that were in those beds. We didn't think of anything else that whole day except the tree and the doll beds. This is a story that still brings tears to my eyes when I think of it and think of all the people who must have been involved helping my mother through those hard times. So I would say the magic of Christmas. My nickname, which everyone knows me by, is Duffy Lore. I do have a real name. It's Marion. And yes, I was a librarian. When I was a child, I did not know that my relatives were of many different faiths. We did not go to church during those war years. My faith traditions are Jewish, Protestant, Catholic, Greek, probably Orthodox, and probably religions that I don't know about because there were so many intermarriages. But I decided to celebrate all of those in my current religion, which is Unitarian Universalism. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
I grew up in Lawrence, Kansas. My parents both had their families in Wichita, Kansas. So every holiday we would drive down, visit both families, and usually spend 4 or 5 days in Wichita. So this particular year, I think I was in college. I think it was my first or second year in college. I was home with my folks for the holidays, and we were getting ready to drive down. We weren't going down until Christmas Day, I believe, and had bad weather. There had been freezing rain and then snow on top of it, and we decided to try it anyway. And since we were going down for several days, you know, we had emptied out the house basically getting ready for this trip. So we get on the road from Lawrence going south to Wichita, and I remember my dad commenting that the roads weren't really that bad. He was surprised at all the cautionary notes about traveling. Well, we got up on a high point, one of those high points in the highway where the wind can really clear things off, and it had blown all the snow off into the side of the road and big drifts there. And of course, because of that, the road had become black ice because there's no snow on there. So something happened. My dad was going a little bit faster than somebody else and had to tap the brakes for some reason. And we instantly just spun around entirely, did a 360, and ended up in the ditch. And the Christmas miracle was that we actually got ourselves out of the ditch without having to get a tow truck. We didn't get buried entirely, and he'd been going slowly enough that we just kind of came to a stop. So that was the huge relief, was that we were able to get the car started again. Between my brother and me and my dad, we were able to kind of push it back up onto the road, and got some traction, with the tires on the grass underneath the snow. So we made it out, and we unanimously voted that we'd only made it about 10 miles out of town on our you know, 3-hour drive. So we decided that it wasn't worth trying to push it. We'd learned our lesson, turned around and carefully drove back to our house in Lawrence. But because we'd been planning on being gone for 4 or 5 days, I mentioned earlier that we'd sort of cleaned out the house. There was no food in the house. We'd eaten everything out of the refrigerator. No perishables were around. You know, there were just some, I think we had popcorn. That's all we had was popcorn. And it was Christmas Day. None of the stores were open back then. This was back in the 80s. So we got home around noon on Christmas Day, and for the rest of that day, we ate popcorn. And I remember watching It's a Wonderful Life and just sort of hanging around as a family. And then the next day, the stores opened, and we were able to go out and buy food and have have a proper Christmas dinner the day after Christmas. We were very grateful. We were grateful that our car came out of the ditch, and we didn't have to find a tow truck on Christmas. And we were grateful for our popcorn, even though it wasn't really what we were expecting to eat that day. So I think it was a good gratitude day, and the lesson was, of course, you know, to enjoy what you have. It's more important than what you think you should have been getting. I'm David Slade, and I'm an Ames resident. And I'd like to wish everybody out there, KHOI listeners, a very, very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and Happy Holidays.
This is KHOI, and you are listening to our Christmas Day storytelling special. The stories you just heard tell about the diversity of meanings the season has, from different faiths and perspectives on celebration, from Cynthia McClure, Paul Hertz, Merlin the Move, Duffy Lohr, Rick Morrison, and David Slade. Some of the storytellers are no longer living, but their voices and stories live on as we remember them this season. We'll now turn to reflections on Christmas trees.
Oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum, wie treu sind deine Blätter. Oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum, wie treu sind deine Blätter. Du grünst nicht nur zur Sommerzeit, nein, auch im Winter, wenn es schneit. O Tannenbaum, be of heart.
I was in the Kiwanis Club here, and we sold Christmas trees on a lot up here in Story City. And we had a heated camper, and we had all the Christmas lights around the periphery, and one day it was like the page out of It's a Wonderful Life. These huge snowflakes were falling. It was just after dusk, and so the only lighting was the Christmas tree lights. And here comes this young couple, and they were holding hands, and obviously newly married, actually. I'd been talking to them, I found that out. And they walked around the lot, and they, you know, price was an issue. And then they told me it was their first Christmas of their marriage. And I was so moved by the whole environment, the heavy snow and the Christmas lights, I gave him the tree. I just gave it to him. And I'll never forget that. That was kind of special.
One of the most memorable Christmases that I ever experienced was when I was about 13 years old. Without much warning, my mom and I moved to Canyon City, Colorado, which was kind of a glamorous location. It has the Royal Gorge. It's a resort town. And we bought a motel. Well, she bought a motel. And my dad continued to work at his regular job in Hastings, Nebraska. So he did come to Colorado for Christmas. And the three of us went out from the motel, drove out into the National Forest with a little handsaw. And we looked around the National Forest, and I'm thinking this was completely legal, but anyway, it was open space. There was nobody worried about it. And we looked around and found a little tree about 3 feet tall, and I was like 13 years old, and I got to be the major decision maker in picking out the tree and then helped saw it down. So we found it and cut it, and it was just back to nature. You know, so much of life now is all fabricated and organized, and this was more like the Wild West. We cut a tree out of the ground and took it home and decorated it, and that was a very joyous, memorable experience. A little sidelight, I had lost my little billfold, and I was only 13, so I didn't have a lot of valuables like credit cards, but my folks seemed to have found it somehow, and it showed up under the tree on Christmas Eve. That was a little, like, frosting on the cake to get my billfold back. So I'm Roger Berger. Merry Christmas, Happy Yule, and above all, where it all came from in the first place, we got through the winter solstice. So happy post-winter solstice.
Oh, Christmas memories. Paul Nelson here, and I came up here to Ames in 1971 from Arkansas. Spent my childhood in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and one Christmas I remember because of something that happened involving a couple of animals. I was about 10 years old, and Christmas morning came, and I was very excited because, among other things, I had a brand new bicycle under the Christmas tree. So I came down the hall, entered the living room, and my parents were there. We gathered around and started opening presents and so forth. And I looked over and noticed that our Siamese cat had all of a sudden grown a huge tail and was looking very intently at the Christmas tree. And looked over at the Christmas tree, and I could see a little bit of movement back there. The cat kind of slunk around to the side, tail growing bigger, if that's possible. The Siamese cat is relatively short-haired, but this tail was as big around as a raccoon's tail at this point. And I saw a little bit of movement back there, and all of a sudden, a huge black snake emerged from the back of the Christmas tree and started gliding across the floor toward the hall. Its head was held high, about 6 inches off the floor, looked like a cobra, and that cat followed that snake out into the hall, and we heard a scuffle. We did manage to corral the snake and put it outside, but the cat walked around the house the rest of that day with a huge tail, looking in every corner, trying to figure out what in the world had just happened. We never could figure out where that snake got in the house. But black snakes are non-venomous, and they're not uncommon in that part of Arkansas. Oh, the bike was very nice, by the way. It was a nice new Schwinn. So, how's that for a Christmas? Yep, surprising, a Christmas surprise. I grew up a Catholic. But I'm fond of saying that I gave the church up for Lent 1 year and never went back. For the entire central Iowa, for the KHOI listening audience, have a very, very happy solstice season.
Mom lived for the last 3 years of her life at Bethany Manor, a nice nursing home in Story City. And they did many things to try and make life a little, holiday joyful and festive at Christmas time for the residents. But individual rooms were only decorated if the family did it for them or if they had their own things. So Mom didn't usually have decorations in her room. But the last year that she lived, one of her grandsons, who didn't come very often, came to see her, brought his girlfriend with him. And when he arrived, he couldn't find her. He said he tried. He asked several people. He wasn't able to find Grandma. But he left on her little nightstand in her room a lovely little fiber optic Christmas tree, the kind you plug them in and the lights phase in and out. They're not expensive. You can still buy those at a big box store, but they put out the prettiest lights. He left that on her nightstand. So she came back to her room eventually to find this pretty little tree doing its thing and making her room look so festive. And when my sisters and I, who came to visit her often, we came and she would say, "Did you bring that tree?" "No, Mom. I wish I could say I had been the one, but I didn't." "Well, who brought that tree?" And we would all say, "Well, just enjoy it. Whoever brought it, that was so nice of them, and just enjoy the tree." Well, she was so focused on, she wanted to know where that tree came from. So we asked around, and eventually we learned that it had been, his name is Tamar, her son, her grandson, my nephew. So she had, indeed, a little bit of decoration in her room that last year, her last Christmas, which, you know, we didn't know at the time it was her last Christmas. And after she passed away in late March 2005, and we are each sharing some of her things, one of my older sisters said, "Would it be all right if I had Mom's tree for Christmas?" And we said, "Sure." So she took it home with her. And what happened after that was a sharing of Tamar's gift. There were four sisters who lived in this area and a brother. And we, each year, we took turns for getting to have Mom's little fiber optic Christmas tree in our home for Christmas, which was very special. We did offer it back to Tamar, but he said, "No, that's all right." Eventually, one of the years that I had it, my husband kind of concocted a nice cardboard storage box for it so that it would stay in good condition as it moved from home to home. Eventually, it was to be enjoyed by the youngest of my sisters, the youngest in our family, and we decided that rather than have the tree suffer damage from moving from home to home, that she should keep it, and she was happy to do that. So the little tree that Tamar surprised his grandma with lives on a farm home at Ellsworth, Iowa, probably out doing its thing this Christmas season.
I grew up in a church and a family that didn't celebrate Christmas as a religious holiday. We had family gatherings around a table loaded with food and shared stories and a strong sense of belonging and love. Sure, we had a Christmas tree with lots of presents beneath. And some of those, when I was younger, were delivered by Santa Claus. But no Christmas Eve service and no sharing of the Christmas story from the Bible. After my brother and I were old enough that Santa Claus was only a memory and my parents could get off to bed at a reasonable hour, I would stay awake until everything was quiet in the house. Then I would take my Bible with me, almost tiptoeing into the living room, plug in the lights of the Christmas tree, and sit in my dad's old recliner next to the tree. The warmth of the lights, do you know those old-fashioned kind with the larger mm-hmm. bulbs than today's yeah. LED strands?
I love yeah. those.
Those would rouse the scent of the cedar tree that was cut from the far end of our farm. And what a delightful smell. Mm-hmm. And the multicolored lights cast red, green, blue, and yellow splotches on the page as I snuggled in the recliner, leaning close enough to the tree to see the words. Some years I read from the Gospel of Luke, the story of the birth of Jesus in the stable and the visit by those shepherds. Of course, this was from the King James Bible, that version that tells of those shepherds being sore afraid. Other years, I read Matthew's version of the Christmas story that included the journey of the wise men moving through the nighttime following the star. Then I would lean back in Dad's recliner and imagine being a shepherd or a wise man making my own journey to Bethlehem, maybe looking at the star atop the Christmas tree. I'd stay until I got drowsy, then would unplug the lights and slip off to bed in the darkness, still holding the story, the scent, and the colors until I fell asleep.
One little Christmas tree was standing alone, waiting for someone to come by. One little Christmas tree that never had grown, cried as he looked up to the sky. Oh, please, Mr. Father Tree, the tallest of all, I'm so afraid and so alone. Could one little Christmas tree, so tiny and small, light up someone's home? 'Cause one little Christmas tree can light up a home, so one little child can find a toy. One little Christmas tree can light up a home, so one little heart can find some joy. One little angel.
Oh, back in the 50s, I had a smaller living room, but I had one section, one corner that was completely enclosed, and my husband got me a Christmas tree that we had to cut the top part out because it reached to the ceiling, took up the whole quarter of the corner, and we decorated it without having enough decorations for it, so I hung my Christmas cards all on it to make up the extra. Oh, my. Looked very nice. I got a lot of compliments on it.
Okay. When it was just my kids and myself and we were, like, short on money, we would go out into the country and find one of those ditch trees at the farm. The farmers don't really care about, you know, they're usually in their fence row, but I think the kids thought we were doing something, I don't know, maybe it was illegal. And, you know, we would spot one and we'd make a plan to go back later and cut it down when we would think there was less traffic. It was kind of exciting for the kids to do that. And then we, you know, because they're usually full of dust from all the road dust, we'd have to bring it home and wash it off and clean it up and trim it up till they weren't like the beautiful trees, you know, my parents used to buy. Yeah. In a very German tradition. Oh, they were all right.
There was a time when a Christmas tree was so desired that we would resort to traveling around Ames. When the fraternities and the sororities would leave town, they would always leave their tree by the dumpster. But it wasn't quite Christmas yet. And those were perfectly good. They always smelled refreshing and delightful. I mean, they'd done their part. You might even get some bonus tinsel in the bargain. It worked out really well, going around to the fraternities and the sororities to use their tree, give it a new life. And then, if you kept that tree, by July, there'd be a hot summer evening, and you could take that tender, dry Christmas tree and turn it into a iconic firestorm of energy that would lighten the night sky, the sparks. It's really quite a big fire. And you think, next year I can't wait. I know where there's going to be an unending supply of Christmas trees for the July bonfires.
This is a story of my daughter, Wendy, and her experience of her first Christmas tree. She was only about 2 or 3 years old, I believe. Three years old is such a magic, magic time for youngsters, for little itty bitty ones. And so, and oh, she was just so, oh, it was just magic for her. And I wanted to make sure that she didn't touch the Christmas tree. I told her it was okay for her to see all the baubles and all of that, but not to touch the Christmas tree. And the way I taught her was, I said, "You see these pine needles?" And she, yeah. And I went, I touched one of them. Touch it. Ouch! She went, and I looked, touched it again. Ouch! Oh! And I said, "This is why we don't touch the Christmas tree." And so she got the idea. She didn't come near it. She loved to watch it and look at it, but no, she stayed her distance away from it, so I didn't have to worry about pulling the Christmas tree down on herself or anything like that. My husband and I had a blue spruce that we had planted at the back of our yard many years ago. It was becoming a nice little tree. They grow slowly, and then we decided that we had never decorated that tree. It was just back there. We love blue spruce. It was going to become this beautiful blue spruce to fill out the back of our yard, and that was our plan. But then we decided to build a new garage. Come spring, because of the garage construction, that tree was going to have to be moved, which made us sad. We didn't really have another place on our lot to put it. We had plans, and we did eventually move it to some friends' property in the country. But the fun part of this tree story occurred one Saturday evening after my daughter and I arrived back home from a long, tiring day of Christmas shopping. We had gone to Des Moines. I'm not a big-time shopper, so when I spend a day shopping, I'm here to tell you folks I'm tired and done with it. But that evening, it was dark already because that time of year, it gets so dark so early. And we drove into to the driveway, and we could just, as we drove in, my daughter said, "Oh, Mom, look." My husband and my brother-in-law, who was living with us for a time then, they had dug out the old Christmas tree lights, those old big, they're a bigger bulb, and all the primary colors, beautiful lights. And they had decorated that little blue spruce with those lights. It took a lot of power cords to get power to that little thing back there. But that was our surprise as we drove back in the driveway, was to see that little tree all decorated and lighted and looking so beautiful back there. And I will forever hold that memory, because we not only never did that again, the tree left our yard. So it was fun. It was fun.
Smågrodorna är lustiga att se. Ej svansar, ej öron hava det. Ej svansar, ej öron hava det. Kåakaka, kåakaka, kåakakaka. Kåakaka, kåakaka, kåakakaka.
Whenever I think of Christmas trees, I think of a record that I got about 50 years ago from Swedish friends called Dancing Round the Christmas Tree. I love that music, and so I called Ingrid Andersson.
Well, I was born in Sweden, in Småland. I must have been around 5 years of age. And we were at my grandmother's, Mormor's house in Småland, the dark forest around us. And my mother has a big family, lots of siblings. And we were dancing around the tree, and we had not electric lights, but we had candles, yes. My father was a fiddler. And it doesn't stand out in my memory, but he was always playing. And my uncle was a guitar player, and we had one other fiddler. And that's my first memory of dancing around the tree. And we used to do it at my farmor and farfar's house. That's my father's parents' house. There was also a tradition of being in a long line, running through the house as far as you could come, up to the attic and down again, and singing these Christmas songs. I have a CD that was produced, quite recently in 2000, but it sounds like they were recorded from old LPs or EPs, because they sound a little old-fashioned. You can hear the stomping of feet, and that it's charming. So I have one, really nice one.
Muskrisar är vi allihopa, allihopa, allihopa. Muskrisar är vi allihopa, allihopa. Och jag med, du med, och jag med, du med, och jag med.
My grandfather, Oscar Henderson, was one of the business people who put together the Christmas tree in Story City. It was in the square right in the middle of town. It was first, I think, in 1913, and in fact, the article commemorating this says that he was responsible for decorating the tree. And we have to remember that that was 1913, and not everyone in Story City had electricity. And of course, on the farms, I doubt if there's any electricity at all. And so here they put up this big 15, 20-foot Christmas tree in the town square with electric lights. Not only electric lights on the tree, but electric lights running on the guide wires that secured that tree to the buildings so it wouldn't blow over in the wind. So it was just a vast array of Christmas lights at a time when, well, electricity was sort of at a premium, so it was considered ostentatious and risky. And of course, it was the only community Christmas tree at that time for miles and miles, if anywhere. Might have been the only one in the country, really. And so I'm proud that my grandfather was part of that project. And so our family goes way back. My mother's father, Oscar Henderson, was born 11 years before the Civil War in 1850. A lot of Norwegian families bypassed the tenements of New York City, and they went to a staging area in Illinois. And then they would branch out. They would send men out to Homestead in Iowa. And so Oscar was born in Lisbon, Illinois, and then his parents were some of the founding fathers of Story City. So Oscar would be the first generation born in the United States in 1850. And he had a family of seven children with his first wife. His wife passed away, and then he married my grandmother when he was 42 and she was 17. They had nine children. And Oscar was a successful farmer. He ended up owning four or five farms up by Randall. In today's money, owning five farms around Randall, Iowa, would make him a very, very wealthy man. Of course, these sons occupied the farms that he owned. And so Oscar was really a flamboyant businessman, and he had a big, bushy mustache. He was a showman, a farmer. What a guy. What a guy. And that's very appropriate that he'd be involved in this Christmas tree project. He was one of the guys who came up with that idea. My farmhouse, in this small farmhouse south of Story City, the This is the house I grew up in, with all these Christmas memories and several families in the end, with lutefisk and lefse, roast beef, and ghosts of Christmas past. And now, of course, there's a tree again this year in Story City, with guy wires to the buildings, and it's a beautiful, shapely tree about 30 feet high, and you don't dare violate that tradition. So I'm honored to know that my grandfather was a leader in making that tree happen. Story City. I'm proud that my grandfather was part of that project.
Oh, Christmas tree, Christmas tree, such pleasure do you bring me. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, such pleasure do you bring me.
My own family were post-war immigrants from Europe, where people put candles on Christmas trees, so I grew up with Christmas tree full of live candles. My parents must have brought candle holders with them from Europe. My father would light them in the Christmas tree room, while my mother and my sister and I would stand out in the hall and sing Christmas carols, and then we would come in and see this beautiful Christmas tree with a halo around it from the candlelight, and then my father would read us the Christmas story from the Bible. And afterwards we had presents in our family. Presents were opened on Christmas Eve, and it was all done by the glow coming from the candles. If you ever have a chance to see a Christmas tree lit by candles, take up the opportunity. It's a very beautiful sight. It's a Christmas tree that is literally in a cloud of golden light, and it's just a very beautiful sight to see. So here's to my European parents. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio with our Christmas Day special, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I've been your host for today, Susan Franzen, joined by a variety of voices and reflections from KHOI volunteers and guests. Local Talk will be rebroadcast at noon and 7 p.m. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. We started our show with Christmas Cafe by Tim Champlin. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the day, no matter where you are or who you're with. And we'll see you again on the radio.